This week on Grape Encounters Radio.
So what wines did we actually get you interested in?
Riesling.
It's a good entry point.
I had never tasted Riesling before, and it's a very nice alternative to my normal Moscato.
Okay. Well, you know what? Before this day is over, I'm going to turn you on to three or four other things.
And now, transmitting our signal to wine lovers of the world from our Atascadero Wine Cellar studio in the heart of the Central Coast wine country of San Luis Obispo County, California, we bring you Grape Encounters with David Wilson.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow. Talk to me nice, talk to me nice, you've got.
And it is another edition of Grape Encounters Radio, and for the second year in a row, we're doing a very special show, almost a year exactly from last year when we did a show aboard the Regent Seven Seas Mariner. This year, as anybody that is a longtime Grape Encounters listener knows, we are on the Regent Seven Seas Voyager this year. And a completely different ship, but a lot of things that are very similar to the Mariner experience. Different ports this year. Last time it was from Venice to Istanbul. This time from Copenhagen to Stockholm. And I'm so pleased to be sitting in one of the special parties that the ship has thrown for us. And we're in the Voyager Lounge. And I'm here with the general manager of the ship, Andreas Pichening. I'm saying that right, but I need to do it with an accent.
Yeah, the correct accent is Andreas Pichening, Italian accent from Venice, North Italy.
Okay, all right, gotcha. And also sitting with us is the head of food and beverage, which is a tremendously difficult job, I've got to think.
Correct. Food and beverage director, Goran Radojičić, straight from Srbija, Belgrade.
You notice I didn't even attempt to mess up your name.
I noticed.
I've been messing it up for a week now. So let's talk a little bit about the Regent difference for a second. And the thing that I think is most interesting about this ship is the fact that it truly is an all-inclusive experience for the people who come on board. You are not nickeled and dimed like you would be. And I'm not criticizing other cruise ships. It's just a different model here that you have on board this ship.
Correct. So our guest, we keep receiving very good compliments about this concept. Here is all-inclusive, the drinks and the excursions and so on. And our guests, when they come on board, they don't have to be worried to sign checks. Everything is inclusive, and that's make the experience more relaxed.
Now, I'm thinking, Goran, that the all-inclusive nature of being aboard a ship like this means that people are going to consume more wine and other beverages than they would on another ship. Or do you know? You've worked for other ships, right?
Yes, I did work for Celebrity before, 2006 left. Yes, it's correct. It's much more consumption, and in order to copy that, we have a good system on board and we know how it works, but yes. It's
The best part about it is, though, you don't serve cheap wine on board, right?
No, that's correct.
I was surprised to know that even when it comes to food, that all of the food aboard this ship is literally prepared from scratch.
Correct.
There's nothing frozen that's thrown into a fry cooker.
No, correct. Everything comes, we have, like, example, big piece of meat that will come on board. We have a butcher who will cut everything from the beginning. Trim it, cut it, grill it, serve it.
Now, how about you? You have been with other cruise lines, I would assume, as well?
Yes, I've been around 20 years. I was working for different cruise lines.
20 years? You look like you just got out of high school, maybe.
The good wine is keeping me young. Actually, when me and Goran are on board, the consumption is even higher.
It's good not to be the captain, right?
Yeah, correct. No, but I've been working for Princess Cruise, for Oceania, and now Regent, and yes, I was food and beverage director as well before.
Oh, you were?
Yes, and now Goran is looking for my position, so I need to be careful where I'm walking.
Oh, he's gunning for you. So let's talk a little bit about the wine experience. The wine experience is very interesting because you have a fairly significant selection of wines aboard the ship that are the complimentary wines.
I will say that our company has the most inclusive wine list in variety around the world.
Yeah, really?
There is probably over 40, 50 different labels of wine that we hold on board. as a complimentary.
Now, you can spend money if you want to buy something.
There is always available that you call connoisseur list for the guests who would like a little premium ones to go through the premium experience even. However, still the wines we serve are still, some of them are premium.
Well, I can actually vouch for it because the wines that I have had have all been very exceptional. And those are the complimentary wines, although I will say I've purchased a few as well.
Oh, thank you.
You need that, right? I don't know. I'll go back to the general manager here for a second. I was trying to do the math, and I know you can't disclose confidential information, but with the quality of food that you put out, the first-class tours that you provide, you know, the fact that there's a ratio of what, how many passengers per staff aboard this ship, crew?
We are talking about one crew member every one guest and a half.
Wow.
All the cruise line now, they have like a one crew member every three guests.
Yeah, so you have twice as many.
Yes, we have a lot of crew members. That's why we are able to provide this six-star service and look to details. Yes.
What happened to five-star service? I thought that was as high as you could get.
Was not enough for us.
So six-star. So, you know, everywhere you go, there's a bus waiting for you. You can't even get on an elevator on the ship without somebody rushing over and either helping you with the door or pushing a button. That's the level of service. There's incredible food that's served in every restaurant. There's really no low end here. I mean, you don't see a bunch of pizzas laying around. The food is absolutely beautiful. Every plate that comes out hot, comes out looking perfect. And when I start doing the math in my head, it seems like even though this is not an inexpensive cruise to take, you have to be incredibly efficient to be able to offer what you offer for that kind of money. Because in the end, wouldn't you be spending the same amount of money on a different cruise line by the time you pay for tips? Which, by the way, you don't pay for tips on this ship as well. But by the time you pay for tips and all your drinks and all of that, it would become the same expense, would it not?
Correct. So at the end of the day, if you are going to a cruise line that doesn't offer all-inclusive and that you are going to pay on the side all this, at the end of the day, it will come the same amount. Better to book a cruise with all inclusive, so when you come on board, you don't have to be worried of paying after all this. So that's, you know, already what you go through.
It also gives you a lot more cruise time, does it not? Because you are not spending time waiting around for somebody to bring you a check constantly, which can really slow down the process of getting from one experience to the next.
Correct. Correct. If you come and order the drink, then I will come and bring you the check that you will need to sign, and then come back and go next and next and next. Here, no. Here you sit down, we offer the service, as long as you're there, we provide, and you enjoy.
All right, so let's go back to the wine for a second. There seems not to be enough wine from Venice on this ship.
We're just going to laugh on that.
No. In fact, I don't recall seeing any. I guess there are a few, right?
I think general manager drink them all.
We have a very good Amarone from Veneto. We have, which is the region Veneto, where Venice is.
Yes.
And we have some good Pinot Grigio that also come from that area. Yes. No, really from Venice, no. I don't even remember that we have grapes in Venice.
Grapes in Venice. They grow along the canals. Well, so let's talk about the wines that you do have to pay for, because this is something that really was very interesting and exciting to me as I was examining the wine list and looking what you do have aboard the ship. There's something for anybody. If you want to spend a lot of money on an exceptional bottle of wine, you have it here.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, that's right.
Like your Pichon, he's there waiting.
I keep waiting for you to drop one of those off at my table, by the way. But in terms of the amount of wine and the amount of food aboard this ship, how many bottles does it take for a normal cruise to be able to accommodate everybody? And I've not ever heard on a Regent cruise anybody say, I'm sorry, we're out of that. That doesn't seem to happen. How do you do that?
Correct. However, I don't want to say we are perfect, so sometimes can happen.
It can happen.
If people start liking specific wine, because we work on majority and you say, okay, you know, you have grape varieties and everything, you will always be able to find a similar that you can subsidize with. But In general, we always have enough of everything. And we can go in between, depends on the length of the cruise. Let's say 10-day cruise, between 2,000 and 3,000 bottles, 3,500 bottles at least.
No kidding.
No kidding.
And, and half of those went to my cabin. Our conversation with General Manager Andreas Pichenin and the Director of Food and Beverage Goran Hojdojcic aboard the Regent Seven Seas Voyager will continue. Up next, how wines for a cruise in this region of the world are selected. And still to come this week on Grape Encounters, we'll rub elbows and share the microphone with our fellow wine-loving Baltic cruisers. Sarah Schneider from Sunset Magazine will also join us later in the program for another fun installment of Sipping with Sarah. But first, let me take just a moment to invite you to interact with us on the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook page. And if it's been a while since you visited our website at grapeencounters.com, come on by again. It's updated every day with new and unique content, including a daily dose of wine-related news called Uncorked.
Talk about the adventure of a lifetime. Our listener trip aboard Regent Seven Seas is a Grape Encounter that I will never, ever forget. And the folks who made this magical journey possible are Sterling Travel. I don't know of any travel agency that does a better job when it comes to creating unforgettable experiences. At Sterling Travel, they focus on excursions that are simply second to none. That's why they work with companies like Regent Seven Seas to make sure that your Sterling Travel experience takes you to incomparable destinations and immerses you in exceptional service that totally exceeds your expectations. Before, during, and after your trip, they're with you all the way, making sure that your vacation is completely and totally off the chart. They have all kinds of adventures waiting for you, and the best way to learn more about what Sterling Travel can do for you is to log on to SterlingTravelInc.com. That's SterlingTravelInc.com. Tell them you heard about it on Grape Encounters Radio.
This is the time of year when wine lovers start planning their pilgrimage to California's wine regions. The perfect inspiration and companion is the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Featured are profiles of dozens of Central Coast and Northern California wineries, along with hundreds of color images by renowned photographer Robert Holmes. Plus, highlights of tours, tastings, maps, and events. These beautiful directories make a fantastic gift. Be sure to like the California Directory of Fine Wineries Facebook fan page for wine country news and events each week. Click on the link at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
If you have a thirst for wine knowledge, be it trivia or the latest trends, there's a website that's overflowing with content that we've created just for you. It's GrapeEncounters.com, where you'll find literally hundreds upon hundreds of stories and interviews covering almost every topic imaginable. From the world's most colorful and renowned winemakers to unforgettable wine adventures, there's something for every wine lover at GrapeEncounters.com. Go ahead, log on, uncork, pour, swirl, and sip.
He's setting down the wine glass and picking up the microphone. Here's your Grape Encounters host, David Wilson.
You heard us talking about our big trip to Scandinavia, Eastern Europe, and Russia aboard the Regent Seven Seas Voyager over the past several months. Well, on this week's program, we take you on board. The ship's director of food and beverage is Goran Hojdojcic, and the general manager is Andreas Pichenin. Let's talk about the method by which you select the wines aboard a cruise like this, because your palate is the entire world. I mean, you are going to lots and lots of exotic ports, and I know a lot of the wine you probably purchase at a central location. Is there some wine that you purchase in the areas that you're going to so that you can have a very authentic experience?
Correct. If the ship does the South America example, we know South America is famous for the wines, the Chile, the Argentina. We will have company. It's all done through the company headquarters. They will go to South America. They will taste the wines, and the wines will be waiting for us as we arrive. We will tell them which variety we want, the quantity we need. It will be waiting for us.
Will you find things sometimes that are interesting and exciting at a particular port and actually bring it on board? Does that ever happen? Or at least ask to have it on board the next time around?
We did. We did. One of the most areas that it's nice to explore that people are not so much sure about would be Croatia and Montenegro. because they're not so popular around the world, but they have actually amazing wines.
Croatian wines are Plavik Mali.
Correct.
Right,
yeah.
which we call Zinfandel at home, and which you call Primitivo in Italy. Yeah. The one thing that I think is really stellar about the Regent experience is the fact that everything that you do aboard this ship replicates what's going on in the port that you're visiting. In other words, you will offer foods aboard the ship that are exactly the same kinds of foods that you would find in that particular area, and it's not a cheap imitation of that. The authenticity is pretty wonderful. How important is that to you as the general manager of the ship to make sure that there's consistency between what happens on the ship and what happens in the port?
Well, it is very important because if, for example, I'm cruising in Italy, I would like to have the Italian flavor of my cruise, and sometimes we even do better than the land, because I'm Italian, I eat better pizza here on board than in Italy, so in some places. So,
really?
Yes. No, our chef is fantastic, and he gets all the support from our office, of our corporate culinary directors and so on. Our recipes are double, triple checked, and it's very important we are consistent on that. That's what we offer at the end of the day, is good ports, excellent food, so.
It's amazing to me that every single thing that I have tasted aboard this ship has been perfect. And I mean, not good, not great, perfect. I mean, flawless food. I can't even imagine what it takes to get a job being a chef aboard this ship. And I mean, obviously there are many chefs that work here, but there must be a very tough process to get to that point. And going beyond the chefs, the sommeliers, there are how many aboard?
Depends on the ship and depends on the size of the ship. We will say 8 to 12. And on each ship you have head sommelier who is fully responsible on all the wines to help out in more improving your experience itself as a guest. And the one who will be doing the example like wine tastings and wine food and pairing, like the one we did for your group.
When you're selecting wines for this ship, do you all get together and throw a little party?
Yes. We wish.
It doesn't work that way.
No, it does not. Sometimes the company will send certain wines and ask us, please, would you taste and give us your notes on board? And then we will throw a little party, as you say, but usually it comes all from corporate.
The Mariner and the Voyager, to me, they seem exactly the same and totally different. The layout of the ship is not the same, but if you've been on one, then you'll kind of know where things are at. What are the most prominent differences between one ship and the other?
I would say that I can compare the Voyager with the Navigator because I've never been a mariner. But Navigator, of course, is smaller, and there are some differences. The product is the same. I think Navigator, we have one restaurant less. We don't have the signature restaurant, but we offer the main courses in the Compass Rose restaurant. And Mariner, I'm sure Goran can say something because he was there, actually.
The difference between Mariner and Voyager, you have an additional bar on Mariner, which is called the Stars Lounge. The Mariner just went through entire refurbishment, so it's actually similar in the interior.
Oh, really?
What you see now here, it's all brand new over there, and it looks amazing as well.
Yes.
Just came out 2 months ago. So additional bar would be over there that they have, which we don't have here.
And that's about it?
That's about it. The rest of the ship is... The rooms are similar. Different location of the coffee corner here and the coffee corner over there, but still, it's the same venue that we have on both sides.
I think that's a really good thing. I think if you go from one ship to another, you kind of want to have a similar experience, but not exactly the same.
Correct.
But there's a comfort level. It's almost like going home to a house that's been redecorated.
Correct.
All right. Well, listen, it's been very nice having you guys on. It's been very nice being on board. I appreciate so much you taking such good care of our group, and appreciate you being on the radio with me today as well.
Thank you very much to make us stars.
And if you have, Goran, any wine that you're trying to get rid of tonight before you get into port, just to lighten up the load a little bit, you know my cabin number.
No problem.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much. We'll be back with more Grape Encounters Radio aboard the Regent Seven Seas Voyager. And what a wonderful, wonderful trip it has been. Our 2014 High Seas Grape Encounters adventure from Scandinavia to Russia continues with a fun conversation amongst your fellow listeners who made the big voyage. That's next, and I'm David Wilson.
Connecting winemakers, wine lovers, wine adventures, and all things wine from around the globe. You are listening to Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson.
At Grape Encounters Radio, we've built a very special kind of cellar. It's where we keep our best years on hand for your enjoyment. Each week, David Wilson picks, stomps, ferments, and bottles conversation about your favorite beverage. And he does it with the most interesting people in and around the business of wine. The topics, the history, the perspective, it's unlike anything else you'll find. Nearly 200 episodes of Grape Encounters at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
Nestled right in between two world-class wine countries, Paso Robles and San Luis Obispo, the warm and inviting city of Atascadero is the perfect gateway to nearly endless wine country adventures. Cozy and oh-so-friendly, make historic Atascadero home base for adventures to hundreds of surrounding wineries, the nearby Pacific, and magical Hearst Castle, plus an amazing array of attractions from ziplining to delectable dining. Discover all that affordable Atascadero has to offer at visitatascadero.com.
If you're like many wine lovers, you just can't seem to part with those corks, and the pile is growing. Turn that pile into style with an original cork cage holder from epicstyle.com. Dozens of shapes and styles from windmills to wine barrels. These cork cages are a smash hit with wine aficionados, and you've got to see them at epicstyle.com. Hundreds of items to add artistry and fun to any dinner or cocktail party. epicstyle.com. Find gifts and accessories for home entertaining.
Grape Encounters Radio is always on the lookout for great story ideas, even if they're completely and totally off the wall. So here's the deal. Share your story ideas with me or send a question you'd like to hear answered on the show. If I use your question or suggestion, I'll send you a special gift from epicstyle.com. I want to know what you want to know. You can contact me on the Grape Encounters Radio group page on Facebook or email david@grapeencountersradio.com. If you've got something for me, I've got something for you.
He's back, and he's not alone. Your Grape Encounter continues with David Wilson and a little help from his friends.
You're getting better like a good wine, mama. Your quality is coming through. You're getting better like a good wine, baby. It's showing in the things you do. You're getting better like a good wine.
All right, we're back with Grape Encounters Radio. This is the time that I have been waiting for, because now I get to sit around for a few minutes, I'm going to say, with my peeps, because I've spent a week with this crazy crew, and I'm not talking about the crew on the ship, the wonderful people who came along on this trip. We have had a terrific time, and we're just going to kind of pass the microphone around to those who were less afraid to go on to the radio, and you're the first victim.
Hi, this is Sherry Albala, and I am a victim here. Before I met David, I was not a wine drinker, and he has corrupted me.
You know what? This is going to cost you for the rest of your life.
Oh, I'll pay. I'll pay dearly.
Hopefully, I've taught you the lesson that don't drink the cheap stuff, unless you like it.
And don't eat salad with vinaigrette.
I tell you, it's the anti-wine.
It is the anti-wine. I agree.
Anything that makes you pucker, except for the wine, you shouldn't eat.
And my boyfriend, if I had one.
Oh, well, tell you what. Now that you're into wine, there's a good chance you'll catch one.
Not the kind of wine I drink, though.
No, honey, here's what you do. Is I'm going to pick out about four or five bottles of wine that are going to be guy catchers, okay?
Ooh.
And they'll catch you the right kind of guy, see? And then you go on to match.com or something like that, right? And you'll say, when it says under likes, you just list these wines, they'll come flocking.
I can't wait.
Okay. Tell me how much you enjoyed the cruise.
I loved the cruise. The cruise was phenomenal. It was a dream come true, and I don't know how I'm going to get along once I get home without my butler.
Well, you know what? I work cheap, and you don't laugh at my jokes. That's the thing.
No,
you know
I don't.
What? The only thing I can think of is that you get down to your cabin at night, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, if you're not up dancing on the table still, and you burst into laughter and go, "I got it."
Yeah, it's like Menon and Tal, and you can't tell them a joke on Thursday because they'll laugh on Sunday.
So what wines did we actually get you interested in?
Riesling.
It's a good entry point.
I had never tasted Riesling before, and it's a very nice alternative to my normal Moscato.
Okay. Well, you know what? Before this day is over, I'm going to turn you on to three or four other things that can also cost you a lot. Actually, Riesling is a good choice of wines to enjoy because they're also very inexpensive.
I appreciate it, and thanks for the education.
Well, we have loved having you on this trip.
Thank you so much.
Now, if you weren't trouble, my next victim is.
There's no way I'm trouble. I'm Mr. D.
Just plain Mr. D.
Plain Mr. D.
Yeah. Now, you're a wine lover, right?
Yes, I am.
And what did you think about this experience of being aboard a ship where they'll pour you from a fairly extensive list of wines and not charge you anything additional for it?
Well, what can you say? I mean, it was great. You know, didn't pull out my wallet every 3 minutes looking for a price.
Isn't that the fun part, seriously, about this trip is that how much time do you waste waiting for a check? You're sitting at a table with eight people or whatever. And by the way, I love that part too on Regent Seven Seas ships is that you sit with who you want to sit with, not who you have to sit with. You know, you're not sitting with Ralph from Podunk, and he's telling you about his desire to have the largest ball of string in the world.
Exactly. No, this, like I say, the people on here are great. You couldn't ask for a better group than the group we're with. And I brought the whole family. So, you know, there's fun things here for the kids and adults both. And
now, did your daughter sneak any wine at any point in time?
Well, maybe a taste on a finger, but no. Glasses.
Now, you're a red guy or a white guy?
I'm a red guy. I like the Merlot.
You like the Merlots, yeah.
Yes.
And Merlots are not wimpy wines. I really want to stress that to people because a lot of people think that there's Cabernet and then there's Merlot, which is just sort of a boring, you know, watered-down version of Cabernet. Not the case at all.
There's no way it's watered down. It's a fine wine, has a good flavor, and enjoy it very much.
I'm going to have Rex Pickett on the show in a couple of weeks. He wrote the movie Sideways that killed Merlot, and we're going to ask him the question, what would have happened if Miles had said he loved Merlot and hated Pinot? Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, best experience on this trip?
Like I say, not pulling out my credit card or my, you know, wallet or ID. Everything was there. No questions. Fine food. Absolutely fine food.
Yeah. In fact, I would say, would you agree with the statement that the food was largely flawless in terms of presentation and just the quality level of the food?
Oh, you couldn't beat it. I mean,
yeah, I don't think so either.
Every bite I've had of the food on the ship was been excellent. I mean, you know, there's no waste. Everything was great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was fun having you on aboard, even though you did pick on me a little more than most.
Not enough.
Well, the cruise isn't over yet. Now we're going to turn it over to... Do you go by Mrs. D?
No, Ruth is good.
Do you love wine as much as your husband?
Probably more.
Red or white?
I kind of like both. I used to tend to white, and now with being a little more educated, I appreciate the reds more.
And what reds are you drinking?
Well, a Shiraz, Cabernet, and I'm kind of seasonal. I find myself drinking white in like spring and summer and red more in winter. I don't know why. It seems cozier, but maybe that's changing now.
There's actually a reason for that. You want me to tell you?
Sure.
Okay. Because the red has tannins in it, and the tannins give you that dryness in your mouth. And in the summertime, you don't want that dryness in your mouth because you're already a little bit dehydrated, right? So
right.
That's why people migrate away from the reds in the summertime. It's a natural thing to do. And somebody who really likes wines will do that almost instinctively and not even realize they're doing it. And sometimes you'll even go from a red to a light red, you know, so from a Cabernet to a Pinot Noir to maybe a Rosé. And then next thing you know, like some of our passengers here, you're drinking Moscato. Ah, I got a searing look from around the couches here.
So I really had a good reason all along. I just didn't know it.
Yeah, you had a good reason. Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't know it.
And
okay.
then the other thing about those summer wines is they're lower in alcohol, right?
Right.
So they are going to be more thirst-quenching. And you can mix them with stuff, too.
Yes, you can.
Do not be afraid to mix a Riesling with orange juice or really any white wine, preferably not white wines that have been aged in oak. That's that.
Right.
Okay. So how cool an experience is it to be aboard a ship where you can order all of these different wines that are all, you know, part of the package, not pay anything extra, and be able to taste a lot of different things? It's almost like being at a wine tasting event, except that the pours are much bigger.
Right, it is. You're right. It's like a giant tasting, and if you taste something and it's not to your taste at that time, it's no problem. They offer something else, and everything has been great. It's all been good. I have no complaints at all.
Because there's nothing worse than when you're at a restaurant, for instance, and you buy a glass of wine by the glass, and you're not digging the wine, and it's just because it's not your taste, and you don't want to send it back, so you kind of choke your way through it.
Didn't happen here at all. No
all
way.
Right, so we have another convert here. We're going to move the microphone down. Are you a convert? I guess you're not a convert, right?
Not really.
Not entirely?
I'm not a wine person.
Okay. Introduce yourself.
I'm Reva Sander. I am having the most wonderful time on this cruise. You know what I enjoyed, though, was the wine pairing.
Oh, you did?
I didn't like the wines. However, that being said, I really was able to taste the difference as we were tasting the filet mignon and the wine.
So you did taste the wine, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, I tasted everything, and I could taste the difference.
So you grew an appreciation for it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Yeah. So you have more appreciation of wine now than you did when you got on the ship?
Yes, I do. I do.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Still a Moscato person if I'm going to have wine. And
what
the
did
Riesling.
You think of that limoncello that I sent over
to
your table?
Oh, my God. I could have been dancing on the table, too.
Yeah, from what I understand, you were dancing on the table.
I don't remember.
Okay.
It was wonderful.
So would you recommend this experience to others?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
This was a fabulous cruise.
You were a lot of fun on this cruise.
I had a lot of fun
on
this cruise.
It took a long time for us to get us off, for us to get you off the table.
Mm-hmm.
But once we got you down,
I couldn't stop.
Well, they were going to throw our whole group off the boat, from what I understand,
mm-hmm.
in Russia, of all places.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, you think that you'll do more wine experimentation as a result of this grape encounter?
I probably will.
Good.
I don't know that it's going to be anything dry because I just don't like dry wines.
So if I periodically send you a bottle of wine,
I'll try it.
You'll try it?
Sure.
And will you write back to me and honestly tell me what you thought?
Yeah, if you can take it.
Oh.
I'll be truthful.
There's the answer. Okay. Well, you guys, I appreciate it so much. Thanks for being with me on this trip. Did you enjoy the group that we had, by
Absolutely,
the way?
Yeah. The people were so much fun.
The
Just
one
really
guy
a lot
the
of
second
fun.
Day that we threw overboard. I don't think anybody missed him.
See, it was hysterical.
It was a great group of people, great ship, great way to experience wine. And frankly, with as much wine as a lot of the people in this group drank, they really got a bargain.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wouldn't buy a glass of wine on my own, and I've tasted more different kinds of wine and discovered things I like and don't like, and it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been on this cruise.
You know, there's definitely something that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been on this cruise. It was my ambition when we got aboard the Regent Seven Seas to get my hands on a bottle of Russian wine. You know, we're all familiar with Russian vodka, but Russian wine, you know, I had been told by the fellows from the St. Petersburg Men's Ensemble that we had on some months ago, that there is wine in Russia, but don't expect too much. So when we finally got to St. Petersburg, I set about the task of finding that bottle of wine. And by the way, when I was in St. Petersburg, I did meet up with the leader of the St. Petersburg Men's Ensemble, and he was able to offer me a little bit of guidance. But mostly when you went into places that sold alcoholic beverages, it was vodka, vodka, and more vodka. And by the way, they give it to you free with dinner or lunch or any other meal for that matter. And you can walk into just a retail store and they will offer you some vodka as well. Go figure. But anyway, I did get my hands on the Russian wine, and it turns out that the best we could figure is that it was a blend of, are you ready for this? Cabernet Sauvignon. Well, that sounds innocent enough. Then there were other fruits in there, undisclosed, but fruits all the same. And then flower petals. flower petals in a wine. It sounded very intriguing. Took it to dinner that night and opened up the bottle. And for the first time in my life, I found a wine that was completely and totally undrinkable, even though it had not turned. It might as well have. I'm not dissing on Russia, because St. Petersburg was absolutely beautiful. I love Russian people, but got to tell you, stick with the vodka, gang, because the wine thing's not working out for you. You got a ways to go. Anyhow, I've got another bottle of it that I did bring back, and I'm never going to open it because it's much more interesting sealed than opened. Well, you know what? There are wines, obviously, like Cabernet Sauvignon that they make in Russia and also make in the U.S., and there are wines like Zinfandel that a number of different countries lay claim to, and they all claim that their home is the best place that Zinfandel is made. That being the subject of our upcoming episode of Sipping with Sarah, Sarah Schneider, wine editor from Sunset Magazine, as I kind of reflect back on last year's trip to Croatia, where they laid claim to the Zinfandel grape, even though some of the best Zinfandel comes from the great state of California. I say they're both good. That next on Grape Encounters Radio.
If you're like many wine lovers, you just can't seem to part with those corks, and the pile is growing. Turn that pile into style with an original cork cage holder from EpicStyle.com. Dozens of shapes and styles, from windmills to wine barrels. These cork cages are a smash hit with wine aficionados, and you've got to see them at EpicStyle.com. Hundreds of items to add artistry and fun to any dinner or cocktail party. EpicStyle.com. Find gifts and accessories for home entertaining.
Talk about the adventure of a lifetime. Our listener trip aboard Regent Seven Seas is a grape encounter that I will never, ever forget. And the folks who made this magical journey possible are Sterling Travel. I don't know of any travel agency that does a better job when it comes to creating unforgettable experiences. At Sterling Travel, they focus on excursions that are simply second to none. That's why they work with companies like Regent Seven Seas to make sure that your Sterling Travel experience takes you to incomparable destinations and immerses you in exceptional service that totally exceeds your expectations. Before, during, and after your trip, they're with you all the way, making sure that your vacation is completely and totally off the chart. They have all kinds of adventures waiting for you, and the best way to learn more about what Sterling Travel can do for you is to log on to SterlingTravelInc.com. That's SterlingTravelInc.com. Tell them you heard about it on Grape Encounters Radio.
When you're into wine, the perfect moment can be as simple as a well-chosen bottle, two glasses, and good company. But that perfect moment can be even more special when it includes some very cool accoutrements from EpicStyle.com. Beautiful decanters that are true works of art, preservation systems, extraordinary corkscrews, wildly creative coasters, amazing wine accessories for your table or home bar. And of course, Epic Style's now legendary cork cages. Even a perfect moment can be made a little more perfect with the help of thousands of products from EpicStyle.com.
And now, Grape Encounters with David Wilson continues from our Central Coast San Luis Obispo County Wine Country Studio in Atascadero, California.
And time once again for Sipping with Sarah. Sarah, you have a particular wine on your mind today.
I do. I came in thinking about Zinfandel. It's on my mind. I'm writing a story about it. It's the one grape that California basically owns. Very little of it is made outside of California.
Okay, hold on. Hold your horses, because there's a whole bunch of people in Croatia that would beg to differ with you, and a whole bunch of Italians that would beg to differ with you as well.
Okay, I'm ready to go on that front.
There are three different wines that we're talking about. I guess they're all the same wine.
Genetically, you are absolutely right. In Italy, they're Primitivo.
You were the first woman to ever say I'm genetically right.
But Zinfandel is too, genetically right. And it is exactly the same as Primitivo in Italy, although it expresses itself differently, and they call them clonal differences.
But this is very interesting, because for most of the time that we've been on this planet, everybody believed that California Zinfandels all came from Italian roots.
That's true.
And then this very dynamic man who is not Italian decided he was going to prove the world wrong. It was Michael Gerkic who won the Judgment of Paris.
That's true.
He believed that there were some amazing similarities between Zinfandel and a grape that he grew up with, which is Plavac Mali,
right,
in Croatia, and that they were just too similar for it to be coincidental. So I guess he funded the research.
This was developed by a professor who I hold in high esteem, Carol Meredith from UC Davis, and she was a genetic researcher. And she took on this project to search in Croatia to find out whether there really was a genetic link there. And she partnered with some Croatian researchers as well. So the team, through the years, did some research. And you're speaking of Plavac Mali from the Dalmatian coast in,
right,
in Croatia. They actually found that that grape is not Zinfandel, but it is the offspring of Zinfandel. Zinfandel is actually identical to another, a very ancient, obscure grape that they found on the Dalmatian coast. And I have never, never, never been able to pronounce it. So that is Zinfandel. And again, it, with clonal differences, but the DNA is there.
They're all made a little bit differently.
Oh, sure.
I will say that I tasted quite a bit of the Croatian version last year. And it's very inexpensive to buy, for one thing. But it's delicious. That, you know, it's more old world style in the sense that it's going to be much lower in alcohol.
Sure.
Usually than the way we make wines here. But you know what? It is a good summer wine.
I would say so, too. I have only had a little bit of that, and only just recently, a Plavac Mali, which I suppose you could say is the child of Zinfandel. But it had that minerally herbal edge that you kind of associate with an old world wine. I would say that Zinfandel here, our California Zinfandel, which is done in a huge range of styles, it's actually coming back a little bit more to a leaner claret-style wine, not for everybody, but a lot of winemakers are rediscovering this wine. So when I started drinking, sadly, Zinfandel was pink and sweet.
Oh, don't say that.
White Zinfandel, which was an accident in the world.
We don't actually say those words on this show.
Okay, I'm done. But then when my generation found out that it was really an appealing red wine, suddenly the alcohol levels started just going through the roof. It was getting riper and riper and jammier and jammier. And, you know, it's just now people are reclaiming Zinfandel.
It's really interesting what you're saying, because what happened with Zinfandel is kind of the same thing that happened with Chardonnay.
Yes.
That with Zinfandel, it was very nearly perfect when it became very popular as an alternative to Cabernet.
Right.
And maybe, you know, hardy Burgundies and things like that.
Well, hardy Burgundy was based on Zinfandel for the most part. It was through the 1800s it came here after the gold rush and became our grape of choice. And then through the early 1800s, it was our main red. And then Prohibition killed the entire industry in some ways. But what's funny is that Zinfandel survived. Some people say that the actual acreage of Zinfandel increased during Prohibition.
Well, there were certain places during Prohibition that managed to stay open.
Right.
Like the Kunde estate was growing Zinfandel all through Prohibition, and that's in the California wine country. It was for medicinal purposes.
Medicinal purposes?
Yeah, pour it on your
sacramental
wound.
Purposes.
Or sacramental purposes, yeah.
Also, there was one other, I suppose you would call it an exception in the Volstead Act, that allowed home winemakers, the head of the household only, home winemakers could make 200 gallons of wine a year. So Zinfandel traveled well. So people growing Zinfandel here put it on boxcars and it went on trains to East Coast cities for all those home winemaking basements.
There's some interesting stories, mm-hmm, though, that are told about what kept the grape growing business alive during Prohibition was, mm-hmm, that they would ship the grapes to people, and on the crate, and I remember David Mirasu telling me this story,
mm-hmm,
about how on the crate it would say, do not ferment, do not,
yes,
do this. And it would have all of the
basic recipe.
It would have the recipe for making wine on the crate, but it all started with do not do this.
Exactly. I've heard that as
and
well.
Interesting that they actually did that. To bring it home, what I think is terrific now is the fact that Zinfandel has now come full circle, because there was a point where it was my favorite wine to go to. Then it was such a turnoff because it had become so jammy and grassy tasting. And it just, it had these characteristics that I couldn't stand.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a combination. It was like they took my favorite Zinfandel, put a couple of tablespoons of grape jelly in it and squeezed some wheatgrass into it.
Yeah.
The good news is that there are now, I think, more good Zins than bad. And for a while there, it was the other way around. So welcome back, Zinfandel.
That.
Welcome back, not overly oaked Chardonnays. And,
exactly.
You know what? I guess winemakers, they follow what they think are the trends sometimes, and then they come to their senses.
I think so. Okay. Let's make the trends.
All right. Well, whether you call it Plavac Mali in Croatia, Primitivo in Italy, or Zinfandel in the United States, tell you what, it's all good. Hey, thanks, Sarah, and thank you for joining us this week. Join us again same time next week on Grape Encounters Radio.
You never know what part of the country or the world the Grape Encounters microphones will take you to. Don't miss a single experience. Your Grape Encounter isn't over. We're just taking a breather until next week's edition.